This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Although I vowed to repeat as few shows as possible in 2011, I never said I wouldn't recycle any ideas. Indeed, how could I not, with new listeners always joining the agenda and the finite, if very large, number of chicken-related topics, including perennial, in more ways than one, issues that demand revisiting. So this episode may sound familiar, but I promise I'm changing it up significantly. For most of my listeners, this winter has been a particularly brutal one. Honestly, I make it a practice not to complain about the weather, but I have had to forego riding my bicycle to work too often lately, and that's nothing compared to the grumblings I've heard from others. So of course, I'm thinking about seasonal affective disorder. I don't have much of it myself this year, I'm happy to say, but I'm aware of it hanging over all of us like a dark snow cloud. And I also know I'm not the only one still thinking about the Great Depression. I've been hearing claims that the economy is recovering here and there, but the claims are usually followed by warnings like, but there's still a budget deficit and your services will not be funded for quite some time. And folks I know who aren't currently employed don't seem to be feeling much more hopeful as far as I can tell. I'm recording this show 24 hours before the 2011 President of the United States State of the Union speech, which has promised to focus on accelerating job growth. Too bad job growth isn't like compost. We could just add chicken poop. That'd accelerate it. And controlling the federal deficit. We have to do both simultaneously, and it sounds precarious. I guess we'll see in time, but I'm pretty sure of one thing, and that's that scads of cheap petroleum will not be fueling the next economic boom. Meanwhile, references to the Great Depression continue to abound in the culture, so I know it's in all our zeitgeist. In the last 2 years, I have seen more theater visiting the themes of money struggles and often referencing the Great Depression. That's always been there, but my casual observation is there's more than ever these days. Depression-era music is still getting more popular every day, with performers who are newly singing those old songs, or capturing the image and sound of the 30s. During lunch hours from my day job in Midtown Manhattan, I head down to the subway with my ukulele and my troubadour persona, Roberto Buscarsi, and perform songs of pretty much every era of the 20th century. My experience is that my strongest audience response is when I do songs that combine themes of financial struggle with themes of love. I can't give you anything but love, rags to riches, pennies from heaven, I love a millionaire. Indeed, listeners give up small amounts of their own hard-earned money and toss it in my open ukulele case when I reach them on those themes. Of course, for me, it all comes back to chickens, and at the same time as references to the Great Depression increase, a sign at the very least that we're collectively anxious another is upon us, so does interest in chickens. The why seems obvious to me, because chickening is a low startup cost and relatively low maintenance activity that generates food in the form of eggs, the possibility of a little meat, and by enhancing gardening through weed and pest control, fertilization, and compost acceleration. There's that word acceleration again. We know this because it's well documented that keeping flocks of chickens around was a common survival technique in Depression-era nations, and indeed, for cash-poor folks universally. Fictional and non-fictional accounts of the Depression frequently mention chickens. As just one example, former U.S. President Jimmy Carter talks at length about how his family relied on chickens during the Great Depression in his memoirs. He surely remembers the promise of the presidential administration of his childhood, Herbert Hoover, promising a chicken in every pot. Although technically, Hoover never made that exact promise. It was used in a widespread newspaper ad promoting Hoover's party, the Republicans. Proletariat accounts mention chickens as much, if not more so, than presidential memoirs. And if you have an eye for chickens like I do, you'll always notice the obligatory chicken running around the yard scene in movies about the Depression era. And most importantly, the references are not just rural. If anything, the whole point is that hard times encourage urban folks to have chickens. What worries me, though, is that chickening has thus become unfairly associated with sacrifice and hard times. Funny how the human mind works. In my experience, talk to anyone who used to keep chickens, and they have fond memories of it. Furthermore, they miss it. And yet we've all collectively decided that chickens may be cute in an idealized early 20th century farmhouse sort of way, but aren't for the city, and they're certainly not for a society that can afford to buy eggs at the grocery store. That's why the part of the Bacall agenda I always shine the big multicolor stage lights on is the part about having a good time. It's about growing food that tastes better than what's available at the grocery store. And it's about being in the garden, or in any case, in your apartment, with hilarious, fascinating, and adorable garden assistants. Which brings me back to my original depression reference, because chickens not only help humans survive economic depression, but also psychological depression. When I lived in Idaho, for all the good things that happened to me there, including my personal discovery of chickening, it was overall a tough time. For one, it turns out the West is not always the best place for a stranger to come to town expecting to find honest work, especially a stranger that doesn't have any blood relatives in town and isn't quick to join a church or the dominant political party. Chickening, and all the eggs and the increased garden production that went with it, were the main reason my partner and I were able to feed ourselves on part-time, low-wage jobs. Of equal importance, chickens were a reason to get up in the morning when I felt hopeless about either the possibility of making a life in Boise or figuring a way out. As you know, I enjoyed their antics and our interactions, but I also was acutely aware of my obligation to care for them, and the fact that they would in return give me a degree of security that if nothing else, I could eat another day. So it was practical and emotional. Things turned out all right for me. I got through the rough patch. And soon after I moved back to New York City, I started noticing a rash of articles in the New York Times and other media about new farmers. And the articles all, either directly or indirectly, referenced psychological depression. My good friend Claudia noticed this too and said to me one morning, "Have you been reading these articles? Farming causes depression." She had it backwards, of course. People struggling with depression are drawn to agriculture because it restores their sense of a connection to their own survival, empowering them in fundamental ways, and giving them a reason to get up every day in order to take part in the codependent relationship that is agriculture. And finally, it's not just that small-scale agriculture, in its finest expression, micro-flock chickening, is an effective treatment for both physical and mental depression. The fact is, it's not just a cure, it's a preventive. If you're already chickening, you're better prepared for any financial downturn, national or global, and you're already having a good time. So it's always the time and place for chickening. As always, I encourage you to email me at bucky@buckybacaw.org with your stories or questions or what have you. Send a digital recording of your own voice if you really want to make me happy. This is Bucky Bacaw. Let the good times roll. Bucky Bacaw's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.